This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Welcome, What the Puckers. Welcome to What the Puck. Thank you for joining us so far this evening. It's only been a few seconds, but thank you for joining already. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I'm not doing too bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. If you're following along on Twitter, go talk to Coach Dan at WTP Coach Dan. Let's talk about the games that we've missed since the last time we talked. Up against the Pittsburgh Penguins, man, this is usually a game that everybody circles whenever a schedule comes out. But this game is one that I think Caps fans, everybody around, just wants to forget ever happened.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it started out pretty well, I thought. It seemed like they had sort of turned a corner and were doing well, and then they had a second period, and everything just collapsed. They looked horrible. It looked pathetic effort. It was, again, they weren't playing a 60-minute game, and then they looked pretty good in the third period, and they certainly made an effort, but at that point, Pittsburgh really wasn't going to give up that big of a lead, and they ended up losing 5-2 to the Penguins, and it was pathetic effort all around. This is what's going to happen. If you do not play a 60-minute effort against good teams, you are going to get embarrassed. And they're still having problems with the goaltending. They did not get good goaltending from Neuwirth or from Holtby that night, and they ended up losing that game. It was a pathetic second period from the Capitals.
This is the big question coming out of that game for me. It sucks going against a really good team right now if you're a Capitals fan, because it seems like the only time the Capitals can ever put up a fight, let alone win a game, is a team that's already struggling just like they are. But this was a big turning point for Coach Oates, I gotta say, because he actually pulled the goalie in this game, and he made a little switch up mid-period. So what does this say to you about the coach right now? Do you see him kind of getting more aggressive, and he actually has figured out what these guys are like? Why pull the goalie at this point?
I was a little surprised that he did that after it was a couple of games where he just left Neuwirth or Holtby in after they were just sort of getting embarrassed. I'm sure that it fueled the fire for all of the trade speculation that's been going on. I know that there was rumors going around that it was going to be like Luongo and Mason Raymond were coming to the Capitals for Marcus Johansson and Michael Neuwirth. So I'm sure that sort of gave a little fuel to that fire. But I'm a little surprised that he did it. I don't really understand the point in doing it right there, especially after only, what was it, two goals, that he decided to pull Michael Neuwirth. I was surprised he did that quickly, and then Holtby came in and gave up three. So it didn't really make a lot of sense to me. And although Holtby's played okay since then, so maybe it was just, maybe Oates saw something that we didn't, or maybe Dave Pryor or one of these other assistant coaches saw something they didn't like from Neuwirth, that they decided that Holtby gave them a better chance to come back and win in that game. It's good to see that Oates isn't necessarily just going to go with one of the goalies and stick by them. He really needs to play the guy that's going to give you the best chance to win. And if one person out there is not doing the job, he should get pulled.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this, for me, this is just us seeing what Coach Oates is going to be like. I think at this point, he's seen what each guy can do. He's seen what the team can do as a whole and as individuals. So I think he's going to get more aggressive as time goes on about who's going to be in and when. We can kind of jump forward a little bit here, but the Florida game that was in Florida on the 12th, we saw Jason Chimera get like a record low of ice time. So it seems like Coach Oates is really starting to make some calls about who he has in on his team, because like we all know, we've talked about this before on past shows, this is a new system for the Capitals, but this is a whole new job for Adam Oates, because he's never been a full-on head coach of an NHL team until now. So it seems like he's the one that's got to make the hard decisions. He's the one that has to really tell the guys what to do, get in their faces, kind of motivate them. And it seems like maybe he's getting the gumption to actually do some things that maybe the players aren't going to agree with.
It's not his job to appease the players. It's his job to coach them. If they don't like what he's doing, that's their problem. I like what he's doing. I think he's doing the right thing. If Chimera hasn't been playing very well, yes, he's got a lot of speed and he's had his good moments, but he wasn't doing very well the other night, and so they decided to send him on the bench. I believe he started on the first line with Ovechkin and Ribeiro, and yeah, then they ended up putting Matt Hendricks up there, and Hendricks went and scored a goal. So that's, you know, they rewarded Hendricks, and he certainly showed them that they made the right decision. So for Chimera, he's got to come out. He's got to try harder. He's got to do more. He's got to give more to this team. I don't think there's anything wrong with what Oates did.
No, I think Oates is finally figuring stuff out. So I think hopefully this is going to be a stronger Caps team going forward, and hopefully a little bit better leadership than what we've seen already in this shortened season. Let's talk a little bit about Florida here. Florida at home in D.C. This past Saturday, February 9th, and the Capitals look like the Capitals of old. They were out there. They were having a good time, and Holtby looked like that Holtby of old that we saw last spring, and it was a 5-0 shootout against the Florida Panthers. This was the type of game that the Caps fans have been waiting for, and I think it's one that the organization as a whole has been waiting for as well, because these guys have been kind of, you know, down in the dumps, and they've been depressed and everything, and this really got these guys jump started. And what a performance last Saturday night.
Well, what we saw was a 60-minute effort. From the drop of the first puck, they just played the entire game, and this is what you can do. I mean, yeah, okay, Florida is not that good of a team this year, but this is what you can do against teams if you give a 60-minute effort. You're actually in the game. You're not getting embarrassed. And they didn't do that. Just sort of transition to Tuesday's game. They didn't give a 60-minute effort, and Florida was embarrassing them at one point until they finally decided to play towards, let's say, the second half or the third period, when they finally started to start playing, get back in the game, and they got lucky in getting a win there.
Absolutely. I got to say, I'm hoping it wasn't me that really helped the Capitals win, because I didn't get to see any of Saturday night's game. I only got to hear it on the radio because I was working. So I'm really hoping that, like, I'm not a bad luck charm if I actually do watch a game and they're going to lose. I might have to test out that theory to see.
Stay away.
Yeah, maybe it's like you going up to the Hershey Bears, you know? I'm not allowed to watch the Capitals, otherwise they'll start winning. But big performances. Let's talk about this guy, Troy Brouwer, man. Troy Brouwer, he's really come into his own, and he's had quite a performance against Florida in the last two games.
Well, Brouwer currently leads the team in goals with 6, which is not exactly the guy you would expect to be at the top of your goal leaderboard, but he's been doing really well, and he showed last night determination with that beautiful pass from Nicholas Backstrom, which I thought was really funny because I actually was giving him a lot of grief on Twitter, and then he made that nice pass. And I was like, whoops. So, you know, maybe it worked. Where Backstrom made that beautiful pass, and then he ended up setting up Brouwer, and Brouwer shot it, and he didn't score. But he stayed with the play, and he got another whack at it, and it ended up making its way through Clemenson's pads into the back of the net, and the Caps ended up winning that game. So Brouwer's been great, but another Caps player that I think has been a fantastic pickup was Mike Ribeiro. I mean, he's been amazing. He currently leads the team in points with 5 goals and 12 assists, and he's actually currently tied for 4th in the NHL in total points with 17. I think Ribeiro has been a fantastic pickup, and just to see him just sort of dance with the puck on the ice. I mean, he makes other teams' defensemen look silly when he's just sort of playing around with the puck, and he continually is able to set up Ovechkin, which is perfect for him. It's sort of like what we used to see from Ovechkin and Backstrom. Ribeiro is doing the same thing, and it's certainly been great seeing those two together. I think if the Caps can find a left winger, which is weird to say, but a left winger for Ovechkin, since he's been playing on the right wing and starting to get a lot of things done well on the right wing. If they can find him a left wing for those two, that's going to be a dangerous line.
I am liking what Ovechkin's been doing. He had a really hard time making that switch, but it seems like he's finally getting into a groove, and he's finally being able to figure out what it's like living on the other side. And Mike Ribeiro, man, what, like you said, what a pickup. He's gelling really well with Ovechkin. Here we are when we're during the lockout, and Backstrom's playing over with Dynamo Moscow with Ovechkin, and we're thinking, well, this is great. These guys are kind of training with each other as they wait for this lockout to get over, and they're making sure they're going to gel no matter what. But then Mike Ribeiro comes in, and he's gelling with Ovechkin as well. I mean, I think that's great news that we have two centers now that Ovechkin can play off of. And I totally agree with you. We do need to find a winger. One thing I do want to bring up, though, about that the goal that happened against Florida on the 12th, the game-winning goal with Brouwer, that had shades of Mike Knuebel to me with that, because he was crashing the net, he was getting in the goalie's face, but he didn't quit, and he just kind of was going for that quick kind of cheap goal where you kept fighting for the puck to get it into the net. You didn't just make a, you know, take a slap shot and then hope for the best and not go after like a rebound or anything like that.
We'll so, call it the Alexander Simmons special.
Yeah, something like that. But I think that's one of the big reasons why Mike Knuebel was let go last year and didn't have a contract renewal, because we have a much younger guy in Troy Brouwer, but there's still some shades of Knuebel in him.
I was actually thinking the exact same thing last night after that play. I thought that is a guy, sort of a Mike Knuebel type play where you crash the net and you just keep going for it. And actually, it reminds me of the game against, I think it was 2 years ago, was it Snowmageddon, where everybody was without power, and the Caps played the Penguins Super Bowl Sunday, and it was a game where the Caps were getting blown out, and they actually came back, and in overtime, Ovechkin took a shot, and everybody thought it went in, and Knuebel saw the puck and just kept swinging at it and whacking at it and eventually got it in. And it's sort of the exact same play where you just follow the puck and you keep hitting it until it's either in the net or you hear the whistle. And you don't like it when it's against your team, but if it's, you know, if your team is the one that's doing the shooting, you've got to keep hitting that until you hear the whistle. You play to the play till you hear the whistle. It's anybody that's ever played any sport, soccer, hockey, basketball, whatever, you know, you play until you hear the whistle. Brouwer did that perfectly. I think he's been a great player for this team so far.
Absolutely. Brouwer's really coming into his own. I'm so happy that he's with the Capitals, and I'm glad that these guys are kind of gelling together. But here's something I want to talk to you about, and this is somewhat serious right now with just having back-to-back games with the Florida Panthers. This past Saturday on the 9th, that game against the Panthers, and it was a huge shutout. And then on the 12th, same team, different arena, and it's barely a win. I mean, a win is a win no matter what, but it wasn't a complete blowout. It was a sword fight. These guys were going through a short shootout. Not actually a shootout, but a metaphorical shootout, if you will, because they kept trading goals back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. What was the big difference here? Because supposedly it's the same team that you're facing. Is it the home ice advantage? Is it a team that kind of studied the Capitals and realized, all right, this is what we need to focus on, and they kind of did their own homework? What do you think is the main reason why the Capitals look so disjointed going against a team that they completely blew out just a few days before?
Well, I'm sure Florida did their research and their homework and tried to change up their game. You're going to go into someone else's building and they're going to embarrass you, and then you're going to play them again a couple of days later. You're going to change your game plan a little bit.
Hold on 1 second. Let me just bring that up real quick, because you made me think of this. Going into their own house and to their arena, how many empty seats were in Florida? I couldn't get over that. Like, I was trying to tweet about the hockey, but I'm like, look at all those empty seats. Florida apparently does not care about the Florida Panthers, because that arena was almost empty.
Well, it's the same. We had the same problem with the Capitals back when they were bad after the right before and after the previous lockout, because the NHL loves to do that so much. Where, you know, these things just, it's a team in a city where it's a warm climate and there's not a lot of hockey that I guess is getting played down there, and the team is usually not very good, so they don't really have that. Yeah, I'm sure they have a diehard fan base, but apparently it's not very big, because they clearly did not have a lot of fans last night. But if your team is not good, people are not going to come and pay a lot of money to come and see a product that's bad.
Well, they're not going to have to pay a lot of money. I was just kind of playing around to see how much I could get a ticket on StubHub for a Florida Panthers game. The game they have coming up, let me just say this. It could be a little off, because I looked up the tickets for the Capitals game after it started, but tickets, the lowest price ticket on there for that game was $2.99.
That's not bad.
$2.99. You know how much? That's like half of a soda at Verizon Center.
I mean, it's bad. But then again, like you said, the game had already started, so of course the prices were going to go down. But if your team's not in any city, unless it's a diehard hockey city like Detroit, in just the U.S. and Canada, you're going to probably sell it every game. But if you're not a diehard city and you're not winning, you're not going to sell a lot of tickets. That's just sort of the way it is. It's not the NFL. It's even the NBA is struggling with selling tickets this season and in past seasons. So you want people to come to your arena and to watch the team play. You got to win.
Absolutely. So, all right. Sorry about that. Sorry for that rant right there. But go ahead. What's the big difference between facing this team on Saturday and then facing them on Tuesday?
Well, I'm sure that Florida did some research, and you know, they studied and they knew what to change in their game from Saturday over to Tuesday to do a better job. But you also saw the Capitals just didn't play well at a large portion of Tuesday's game, where they came out, were just sort of skating around. The goaltending was not good enough, and they were letting up soft goals, and guys were just blowing by the Caps defensemen, and it just looked horrible. If the Caps want to win and they want to be able to make the playoffs and make a good run this season, they have to play a 60-minute. This whole thing has come down to they need to play a 60-minute game. It's not the system anymore. They've had plenty of time to learn this system. This is about them playing the entire game, and if they're not going to do that, they're not going to win.
The big thing that scares me with the Capitals, and especially with the goaltending, when Holtby is on, and he's unstoppable. But I noticed this last night against the Florida Panthers. He seems to lose the puck a lot. He'll think it's in his pads, and then he'll kind of look around and realize it's not there. Do you see that as a problem right now? Because to me, it just looks like he's hopefully blocking it and hoping that it'll be in his pad somewhere. But a lot of times, it looks like he doesn't know where the puck is.
Well, I mean, all right. He's struggling a little bit. He's got to settle down. But you'd think after Saturday's game, he would certainly be settled down, because he did 5-0 shutout, certainly going to make you feel better. And it almost makes you wonder if last night's comeback was sort of going to help him build his confidence and almost build the team's confidence to a point where they're going to relax. But I think he lets it get into his head a little bit, where he starts to let in these goals, and he's like, oh, here we go again. You know, he's going to have these struggles. But he's a young goaltender, just like Neuwirth, and, you know, these aren't veterans. We're, you know, as fans, we were used to having Ole Kolzig around, who, while he was very very temperamental, you know, he didn't necessarily let every little thing get to him like a young goaltender does. So as these guys mature, as they play better, as they get older, you won't see that as much, where he starts to freak out a la Dominic Hasek.
Right. Well, all right. Well, with the Capitals right now, since the last time we talked, it's two wins, one loss. Even though that last game was kind of a struggle, it does feel good having two wins, two in a row. I guess that's a reason to celebrate a winning streak if you're a Caps fan. But two games right in a row, so I'm very happy. What else is going on in Caps world right now?
Well, it looks like after his sort of benching last night, Jason Chimera is back on the top line. At least he was in practice today with Mike Ribeiro and Alex Ovechkin, with Chimera on the left wing. Brooks Laik has been cleared for contact in practice, so we'll sort of test out his groin injury to see how he's doing. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Laik sort of back in action within the next, let's say, week or two. We might see him actually playing in a game. Although my guess is he'll get sent down to Hershey in sort of a conditioning assignment to play a couple of games and get back into sort of the hockey NHL speed and shape. And I found it interesting that Marcus Johansson is actually not with the Caps on their Florida road trip. Now, I know there's been a lot of trade speculation surrounding him, and a lot of it's probably bogus. And I know the Caps are saying he's injured, although the Capitals are notorious for not telling you what the player's specific injury is, at least not right away. They usually say it's upper body or lower body injury. I'm not entirely sure what's wrong with Johansson. I'm sure this is going to, as I believe we mentioned earlier in the show, this is going to fuel the trade speculation fire regarding Marcus Johansson.
Yeah, who knows what'll happen to Johansson? Even though he's a great player, he kind of seems like he's kind of stunted in his growth here in Washington. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do. Great for Brooks Laik. Every time he gets closer and closer to being healthy, that's really going to help the Capitals out in the long run. And if he gets sent up to Hershey, that'll be a treat for every Hershey Bears fan to have Brooks Laik back in that building. So I hope they get to check him out. One thing we didn't bring up, though, during the game, we were talking about the games against Florida. We didn't bring it up, and I shouldn't be the one bringing this up, but Big John Erskine took quite a fall on the ice last night.
That was just, and it was funny at first because everyone was like, who just did that? Who fell and looked like a putz? And thankfully, Florida went and just completely botched the opportunity of having a 4-on-none. And the guy decided to take a slap shot instead of passing the puck around. Although with the way Holtby was sort of playing at that point, he made a ridiculous save earlier in the game. You know, who knows if they would have scored or not. But that was pretty bad. That's the one thing that a guy like Erskine, unfortunately, is not going to be able to recover from. Where if he gets sort of, whether it's from falling down and looking like an idiot, or just being out of position or someone blows past him, he doesn't have the speed to be able to get back into the play, sort of like a Thomas Kondratik did, which I believe was on Tuesday's game where he jumped into the rush at the wrong time. A player got past him, but he was able to get back and cover his man and prevent the other team from a quality scoring opportunity. Erskine can do that, and while I love his heart and determination, and he's played well this year with the exception of him falling down and a couple other plays, if you're going to have a team that's going to win a Stanley Cup, odds are you're not going to have a John Erskine or have the John Erskine sort of playing for you as many minutes as he has been.
Yeah, he's been getting massive amounts of ice time, and I did see it last night a little bit. He isn't as fast as a lot of the younger guys playing in the NHL right now, but he is a big guy that you want to have on your team just to kind of rough some people up and get out there. And he's even got a goal. I mean, up until a couple games ago, I mean, he had the same amount of goals as Ovechkin, so that was kind of interesting. Something else we got to bring up too in Caps World here is Matt Hendricks, man. He always a tough guy, but had his nose broken in the game against the Florida Panthers, and he had to get stitches, and he still played the entire rest of the game. I mean, what a guy.
He's a hockey player.
He's rough, and he never says die. So, I mean, you got to love a guy like that. But, man, stitches, broken nose, and you still finish the game. Oof, can't even imagine.
That's like nothing for a hockey player.
Right, yeah.
That's a Wednesday night.
Tuesday night. It was a Tuesday night.
You know what I meant.
All right, anything else going on in Caps World?
No, man, we pretty much covered everything.
That's pretty much it. Well, you know what? If we're going to be hanging out with Brooks Like, he might be stopping off and helping people change a couple tires if he's going up and seeing the Hershey Bears and the Reading Royals, because we're about to go up 83. All right, man. Well, we're up 83, up in PA. What's going on with the Hershey Bears since the last time we've talked?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey went 1-0-1 with a win over Binghamton and a shootout loss to the Norfolk Admirals. So Hershey is currently fourth in the East Division at 23-19-6. But they have moved up to seventh place in the Eastern Conference playoff race. So Hershey's somehow still in fourth in the East Division, but they've actually moved up in the playoff race. So that's pretty good for them. It seems like they're doing pretty well. There's been a lot of moves between them and Reading recently. Some of the interesting ones is that I believe Hershey's actually sent down forward Matt Pope and then actually brought him back up yesterday. And I believe last week, actually, Danik Paquette, who the Capitals acquired in the Eric Fair trade, was it before last season? Eric Fair is now back with the Washington Capitals. They brought him up to Hershey. He's been playing on their fourth line. He may have actually been bumped up to the third line at one point before a game. He's sort of a guy to keep your eye on. He's sort of like from what I've read before he came to the Cap, or when the Capitals picked him up, I should say, that he is more of an agitator. He's kind of annoying out there on the ice. He's like Matt Cook, except for he's not a douche. So he's one of those guys who's gonna be out there. He's gonna cause some problems, but he's not gonna try and end your career or anything. As for Reading, on the other hand, since we last talked, they went 2-0-1 with two game winning goals from our buddy Stan Galiv. He's doing pretty well. Interestingly enough, Reading has loaned goaltender Drew McIntyre to the Toronto Marlies of the AHL. They are the Toronto Maple Leafs AHL affiliate. So interestingly enough, both goalies currently with the Reading Royals is Brandon Anderson, a Washington Capitals prospect, and Sergei Kostenko, my buddy, and a Washington Capitals prospect. That'd be really cool if he was my buddy, but I don't actually know him personally. I just think he's cool, and he's kind of crazy. Reading is currently first in their division at 33-12-4, which is good for 72 points. They are 18 points up on the second place Elmira Jackals in the Atlantic Division.
Can we just say that they won their division already?
They have not yet. On the standings, they have not yet.
Just give them the banner. Give them the banner.
The Alaska Aces have already clinched the playoffs, I believe, in the ECHL. They are currently the number one team in the ECHL. Reading is 3 points behind them. So you got to think within the next couple of days or next week that Reading's probably going to clinch the playoffs, considering they already have 33 wins, which is ridiculous. They are 7 points up on the next closest Eastern Conference team, which is the Gwinnett Gladiators. So currently Reading is doing fantastic. It doesn't seem like – we had mentioned maybe a couple of months ago or even a month ago that we were wondering what the drop-off was going to be when Reading lost Philip Grubauer. It doesn't seem like it's been there. I think the other goaltenders, McIntyre, Anderson, and Kostenko, have picked up the slack and are doing a fantastic job.
Well, that's awesome for Reading. It's good to have at least one team in the organization and with the Capitals that are winning a massive amount of games.
Yeah, they are.
Especially if we can't see that in D.C. This is a little bit of old news, I think. I mean, it might even be over a week old, but I might as well just bring this up. But I think GM said Dmitry Orlov, who still down in Hershey, we were expecting to come up when the NHL came back, but of course he's been hurt. They're saying it may be even another month before he's even able to practice on his own or even close to the team or anything like that. So it looks like Orlov may miss the majority of this Washington Capitals season. Hopefully everything works out for him and that he can come back to the Capitals. But right now it looks like he's out for a little bit, and it's really sad to see him not up in the rocking the red in D.C. But is that it for Hershey and Reading?
Yeah, that's pretty much it for them right now. I think in regards to Orlov, he's one of those young guys. He's not towards the end of his career. I think they should take the time that they need to make sure he is 100% healthy before they get him back out there. And if that means he doesn't play with the Caps this season, so be it.
Yeah, you know, we've seen what he can do on the ice, and it is, like you said, it is a great idea to make sure he's okay 100% before going out there again. So it's just being safe, and you got to do that with these players. But, hey, what else is going on in the NHL? What's going on around the league?
Tuesday night, Columbus fired their general manager, Scott Housen, and have actually hired Jarmo Kekalainen, who is the first European to ever become a general manager in the National Hockey League. He will now be the GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Kekalainen was the GM of Finnish club Jokerit when he got the call to come over and be the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. So he had a press conference, I believe it was yesterday or today, in Finland to announce that he was leaving Jokerit to come over and to be the GM of Columbus. Now, he has some connection to Columbus in their director of hockey operations, who is John Davidson. John Davidson started this season as the new director of hockey operations after leaving St. Louis. Kekalainen used to work, I believe he worked from 2002 until 2010 in St. Louis in the organization. So he has some familiarity with John Davidson, so there should not be too much of a problem or too much of a – not a learning curve, but sort of just with those two guys getting to know each other. I think Columbus is going to be one of those teams that they certainly have the opportunity to get better. They've got a lot of young guys that are coming up. So Columbus is one of those teams you might want to keep your eye on for the next couple of years. In trade news, New Jersey has actually reacquired Alexei Ponikarovsky from Winnipeg for a seventh-round pick in the 2013 draft and a fourth-round pick in the 2014 draft. Ponikarovsky played for the Devils last year when they made their run to the Cup Finals. And earlier in the day, Winnipeg actually acquired Eric Tangrati from Pittsburgh for a fifth-round pick. And this last week, I still don't understand this deal. I think this was – I mean, I understand why they did it, but it was just stupid. Boston traded goalie Tim Thomas to the Islanders for a conditional second-round pick in the 2014 or 2015 NHL draft. Now, the reason this doesn't make any sense is because Tim Thomas has already come out and said, I'm not going to play in the NHL this year. So it makes you wonder, why would the Islanders do this? Now, the biggest reason they did this is that they needed to get above the salary cap floor. I'm blanking out what the number is right now, but they were well under that, and they had to get above it. So they're basically just going to let Tim Thomas's contract sit on their books for the rest of the season, and then we'll see what happens from there on out. But I would not expect Thomas to be playing for the Islanders if he ever does come back to the NHL. So that was sort of a weird deal, and everybody kind of looked at it and went, okay. And the fact that Boston got a second-round pick out of this I thought was amazing.
That's pretty amazing. But could you imagine just being in the position where you just kind of go, you know what, I don't want to work this year. I'm just kind of done.
I'm just going to take the time off and take my paycheck.
Right, exactly.
Not even getting paid because he's got suspended. But either way, but the thing is, like, it makes you wonder. Like, the Capitals could not trade Michael Nylander a couple of years ago, and he wanted to play in the NHL. And yet Boston can go out and get a second-round pick from a guy who doesn't want to play in the NHL? That doesn't make any sense.
That's pretty crazy. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens next season, whether or not Tim Thomas is just going to retire, or if maybe there's a slight chance we'll see him in an Islanders jersey. I don't see that happening, but that's I'm trying to picture it in my head. I can't see him without that gold, black, and white on.
Don't they have enough goalies? I mean, they've got DiPietro until the year 3000. They've got Yevgeny Nabokov, and I think they have somebody else hanging out. It's like, do you guys have enough goalies? Do you really need another one? No, I don't expect to see Thomas ever playing for the Islanders. But in other NHL news, Colorado is rumored to be heavily shopping restricted free agent holdout Ryan O'Reilly. Before the season started, we had three restricted free agent holdouts in PK Subban, Jamie Benn, and Ryan O'Reilly. O'Reilly is the only one who's still not signed. Odds are he's going to be traded out of Colorado in the next couple of weeks, if not at the trade deadline. Sort of reminds me of the Kyle Turris situation where he did not want to play in Phoenix anymore. He ended up getting traded to Ottawa, and things actually worked out for both teams in the end there. In full-on NHL news, the NHL and the Players Association are talking realignment. Now, if you remember back in December of 2011, the NHL came out with a proposal that would go take the NHL from two conferences to four, where two conferences would have seven teams, two would have eight. The Caps actually would have been in a conference with Carolina, New Jersey, the Islanders, the Rangers, Philly, and Pittsburgh. Oof. Now, the Players Association came out and said, no, we don't want to do that. They didn't like the fact that the two different conferences had different amount of teams, and they didn't like the way the traveling would work. So there's been talks, apparently, between the NHL and the Players Association about new realignment for next season. I haven't read as to whether the realignment will be similar to the one they tried back in 2011 or if it'll be different. I certainly would love to see the Caps back with their old Patrick Division enemies in New Jersey and the Islanders, the Rangers, the Flyers, and the Penguins. I think that would be awesome because it would push the team to have to do better. A report – now, here's some interesting things that's sort of been bothering me about the NHL and the Washington Capitals. According to a report from ESPN Chicago, the NHL has had the highest rise in ticket prices between them, the NBA, and the NFL for the second consecutive season. So let me get this straight. You're going to go and you're going to have a lockout, and then you're going to raise your ticket prices.
Always good to treat the fans that way.
It's just fantastic fan relations right there. And to go along with that, according to FanCostExperience.com, the Caps have the fifth highest average ticket price in the National Hockey League at $73.75, which is almost $13 higher than the average team's ticket price. They are actually a dollar and change higher than the New York Rangers.
What?
So now that is the average ticket price. I remember I used to be able to go to a Caps game. And now, given they sucked at the time, but I used to be able to go and get a ticket for a Caps game for $10, and you sit in the Eagles' nest. Now, $10 won't even get you a hot dog. So, you know, as the team gets better, they're going to cost more money, but it's still sort of – it's interesting how the Capitals have cost that much more money.
That's
a little
crazy.
Ridiculous. That is all of the NHL news, the interesting NHL news from the past week.
Well, one thing that I've read about this realignment is the fact that the NHL wants to use pretty much what they had before, like you were talking about in 2011, but just with some few minor tweaks. But here's the thing. It's the NHL and the Players Association. After what they just went through with the lockout, I don't know if they're going to want to fight even more about who gets whose way or what will happen. So I'm kind of interested to see how far this goes because, of course, having Winnipeg in the Southeast doesn't work. It's affecting.
It's a little ridiculous.
It affects all the Southeast teams a lot. But with the Players Association, the NHL not liking each other, not hiding it, especially after a lockout, I'm interested to see who bends because.
Well, word is that they're working together on this. It's not like the NHL is going to come out with something and be like, hey, what do you guys think? And then the PA is going to go, no. It sounds like they're actually working together on this. So I think this time, provided that they can actually come to an agreement on where Winnipeg should be. I mean, I think the easiest thing is to just move Winnipeg into the West and then bump either. I know Detroit really wants to get into the East. You can move Columbus or Nashville into the East or the Southeast and just sort of, you know, that'd be the easiest move. But it sounds like there may be some sort of radical change coming.
Well, if they do two divisions with seven, two with eight, of course that leaves it open to possibly getting expansion and getting two more teams. So everything is eight, 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 and eight. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the next couple weeks because I'm hearing that the realignment talks and everything are really going to heat up within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So very interesting stuff coming up. But that's pretty much all the NHL news we got going on, right?
Well, actually, going on tonight, the Pittsburgh Penguins were playing the Ottawa Senators, and Erik Karlsson suffered a laceration of his left Achilles, which will require surgery, and he will be out indefinitely. Now, the player who ended up cutting Karlsson's Achilles with his skate blade was none other than Pittsburgh Penguin Matt Cook. This is the same Matt Cook who essentially ended the career of Mark Savard up in Boston. And you got to wonder, you know, okay, yeah, the hit to Savard was really bad and Cook didn't get a penalty. And yes, okay, maybe by chance it was an accident, even though I don't think so. But where there's smoke, there's fire. It's happened again. It looked incredibly bad, and you got to wonder what is going to come from this for Matt Cook. It happens once. It continually happens. Cook is no stranger to controversy and injuries. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, we're not a big fan of him around here.
Not so much.
All right, so coming up, let's talk a little bit about the Caps coming up before we talk again. Only two games, man. Only two games until we talk again next week. Thursday night, February 14th, we're going to have the Washington Capitals at Tampa Bay. Puck drop is at 7:30. It's supposed to be on Comcast Sportsnet locally, the NHL Network, possibly, if you're out of town, not in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland borders. And then on Sunday, February 17th, we've got the New York Rangers in Madison Square Garden up in New York, 6 p.m. puck drop, and that's going to be a national game on NBC Sports. So two games coming up, two games against really good teams. We talked about this earlier in the show. These are teams that are – there's a good chance we're going to see at least one of them in the postseason. What do the Caps have to do? What do they have to focus on teams that are – that well, every team is better than them at this point, but ones that are really excelling?
Well, I mean, when we last saw Tampa, they just embarrassed the Capitals. Tampa ended up winning that game 6-3. So I think if the Caps should come out flying, they need to come out energized. They need to play a full 60 minutes if they have any notion of winning that game. They're going to have to play their best. And I think the Rangers game is going to be interesting to see how they're going to do against a really talented team who's been, and see if they can shut down that line of Rick Nash and what is it? Nash and Richards and I'm blanking on his name. Gavrik. See how they're going to do against those guys. So it'll be interesting. I want to see if the biggest thing is going to see if the Florida game, that come from behind win after the pathetic effort, is going to push them to play better and to show that even if you get behind by a goal or two, you can come back and win if you play your hardest. I want to see if the lines sort of settle down or if Oates is going to sort of move guys around a little bit, and I want to see better play from the defense, and we have to see better goaltending, especially against the Rangers. Yeah. We have to see better goaltending or this team's going to lose both of those games.
Supposedly, Coach Oates has already told the press that against Tampa Bay that Braden Holtby will be getting the start. I'll be interested to see what happens in New York with the goalie situation. If you remember last spring, Braden Holtby was the call-up. Vokoun and Nuvi were both hurt, so Holtby went into New York, into Madison Square Garden, and completely just obliterated the Rangers. I mean, it was good play by everybody on the Capitals, and Holtby, that was the famous Holtby slide coming out of the goal. That was up against the Rangers, kind of kicking the puck away and then having to skate real quick to get back into his crease. So very interested to see what happens. The Rangers game is definitely one to watch for me. It's going to be a real test to see what these Capitals do against this team. They're always good rivals, whether it be the regular season or the postseason, but there's a history between these two teams, and these guys are really going to be a measuring stick to see what the Capitals can really do at this point, because before starting the season, it was, all right, there's a new system, new coach, Russ, this, that, whatever. You got the Rangers, man. You got to get serious, and you got to play your hardest, because this is a team that if you do make it to the postseason, they're going to be there waiting for you. So definitely going to be a game to watch on Sunday, February 17th, at Madison Square Garden. New York Rangers, Washington Capitals, 6 p.m., NBC Sports Network. All right, man, so I think we've pretty much covered everything. If you are going to watch some Caps hockey and you want to keep up with us, of course, go to Twitter. I'm on Twitter, at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, he's on Twitter, too. Let him tell you all about it.
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan, and you can always follow the show at facebook.com/WTPPodcast. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. If you want to go over to Facebook, like our page, it's facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you get news about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. And I don't know how you're listening to What the Puck right now. Thank you no matter what for listening, but there's a billion ways to listen. Whatever is easiest for you, just do that. But we are on Stitcher Smart Radio. We are on iTunes. You can go over to iTunes, search What the Puck Podcast, click subscribe. You can also check us out on WSR, Stevenson University Radio, and where else are? And we're on Podbean. We're on Podbean if you're at your desk and you're bored and you're at your office job and you just want to listen about some hockey, go over to whatthepuckcaps.podbean.com and you can listen to all the shows right there. And what we really need your help for, since we give you this show completely for free, we need you to tell people about the show. You can go over to iTunes, and on our podcast page, you can leave an iTunes review. Good, bad, whatever you want to say about the show, just let us know. You can tweet to both of us. But tell a friend. Tell a friend socially, just face-to-face, whatever you want to do. Just tell a friend. Go over to Facebook, to Twitter, to Tumblr, to Pinterest, to Vine, to Tout, to Instagram. Tell people about it. Go over to Reddit. Let people know on Reddit that you're a Caps fan and you listen to What the Puck. But thank you so much for listening this week. That's it for What the Puck. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.
Well, interestingly enough, I found this pretty Tuesday night during. Let's try that again.
You got something to say, Zamboni? You the hockey cat? What's up? Thursday the 21st, we've got the New Jersey. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong one. Sorry.
Whoop, outtake.
Yep. Thursday, February 2020. Damn it.
We'll just continue that outtake going.
Yep. Keep it going. Just keep it rolling.